I'll call this meeting to order. It is now 6:31 PM on May 26, 2020. And if I can have everybody rise, please, for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. Can I have a roll call, please, Lori?
Councilmember Franco.
Present.
Councilmember DeWitt.
Here.
Councilmember Diamond.
Here.
Councilmember Leary.
Here.
Councilmember Springer.
Here.
Vice Mayor Hanson.
Here.
Mayor Barr.
Present. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll move on to item number four, people to be heard. And I've got a John Simon. John Simon, if you can come on up here, you have 5 minutes. And if you can state your name and spell your name, sir, please. You can take your mask off.
My name is John Simon. I'm from Bethel. I'm the owner of the property up there by 1710 State Highway. That's, I've had this flooding for years now. And ever since, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers started adding sand to that pit, you know, and I have a dog team there and my house is there and steam bath, everything. Four-wheelers, snow machines. My subsistence fish camp is right there too. So this year was the worst. And caused pretty, you know, a lot of damage, mostly to my wife's new steam bath, you know, and our driveway too. So one of the concerns, a lot of concerns I have is the road that they're building now, you know, it's going to make it worse. There's no drainage to that pit whatsoever. No culvert. When the water builds up there from, you know, the meltdown, from the spring meltdown, it literally fills that lake up to a lake, not to a pit, to a lake. I have a bunch of pictures, right, you know, I've taken, you know, for the past few years, you know, and this year was the worst. And but you know, the concern I have right now, I think the city needs to, you know, I'm not blaming the city for this or anybody right now, you know, I just want to bring this up to you all and to have a culvert installed there. And there was one probably, you know, brought up, but what I heard was it's not good, might not be on the budget this year. You know, only way the state, you know, will get involved later on is, you know, 2026, and that's quite a few years from now. That's too long. You know, I think the city needs to add this culvert into the budget, you know, and look at it seriously, you know, to fix this problem, not only with my property, but my neighbor's property. It will start getting to my neighbors eventually with this road. It's right level right now with the, you know, there's no high ground. Once that water goes down, it's going to damage that road. I guarantee it, you know, it's going to be damaged. They needs to have a culvert there. And I would, you know, seriously look into that. You know, the councils should look into this about, you know, adding that culvert to the budget. While the roads are being fixed now, you know, we have an opportunity right now. We can't let go. And, you know, I'm doing this on my own right now, you know, and family, you know, and you know, I don't want to turn this into a legal problem. I want to take care of it the right way. You know, I'm not making no threats or anything like that, but, you know, using common sense, let's get this thing fixed before it causes more damage, not just with my property, but with the road too, that the new road you're building. And that I could go on and on, but I only have 5 minutes. But anyway, thank you for your, you know, All due respect to all of you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, John. So next up, we have Jim Chevegni. Jim, if you can come on up here again. We got 5 minutes. Speak your name and spell your name.
Jim Chevegni. It's spelled C-H-E-V-I-G-N-Y. And the reason for my being here tonight is to congratulate Amy for such a great job she's done as the police chief. The 3 years ago, the city's police department was truly in bad condition. The Burke came on board. He was hired to stem the problems, which he did, and left. And Amy very ably took over the position. 3 years ago, the city stood to lose its insurance policy completely due to the mismanagement of the prior group. And I just, the turnaround that's been affected in the last 2 to 3 years on behalf of the city, and again, following up with Amy, having done such a great job, the city is in much, much better shape from a public safety standpoint. The I always find it difficult to see good people leave Bethel. Bethel is in need of quality people. And I know that she'll do well in Fairbanks, but I hope that everyone that has an opportunity gets a chance to thank her for the great job she did.
Thank you, Jim. Do we have anybody else online or in the gallery that would like to speak on People to be Heard? Hearing none, we're going to move on to item number 5, the approval of consent agenda and regular agenda. I entertain a motion to do such.
This is Michelle. I move to approve the agenda and consent agenda.
Okay. I have a motion by Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second?
I'll second that. It's Hanson.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson. Discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Springer.
Yeah, I'd like to pull item 10.2 off the consent agenda, please.
Okay. 10.2 has been pulled from the consent agenda. Is there anything else that the council would like to pull from the agenda or from the consent agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the regular and consent agenda indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. We have an agenda. So approval of meeting minutes, item number 6.1. That passed on the consent agenda, the special city council meeting on 5-6-2020. 6.2, 5-12-2020, regular city council meeting passed on the consent agenda. So we'll move on to the reports of standing committees. 7.1, committee, commission, board agendas, and draft meeting minutes. So we'll start off with the Port Commission, Mr. Diamond.
Yes, thank you. So we've had our second meeting since we made an appointment, so we now have a quorum, so we've had our second meeting. And I know there's been a pent-up demand amongst port people to have that happening, so that is happening. I guess the two major things I could bring up, one would be that the port, among its many other duties at this busy time of the year, has been removing abandoned vehicles. At our last meeting now, it was up to, I think, either 8 to 10 at that point. It'd be more by now, I believe. But you know, there's a process for that. So there has,
and they've made mistakes in the past, or the city has in the past, in terms of not giving, you know, removing an obviously trashed, destroyed vehicle, but not having given notice to any owner of record. Owner of record comes back and says, hey, look, I had a good car there, and it ends up being a court problem. So Port has learned over the years is that they keep careful documentation. I'm told keep careful documentation, notify whoever needs to be notified before they make the removal. They have their own little impound lot right now that they're using. So that's one, and that's, it's been a concern in the community in terms of numbers of abandoned and trash vehicles in town. The second is something I brought up before, and we've spoken about it a bit here, is that Vitus continues to approach the port with ideas for competing fuel storage plant, a tank farm. And their latest idea was if they were wondering if they could park 30 to 35 storage tanks on the dock and use that and fill them there. And the port replied to them previous to that meeting that no, they can't do that. We need that space. So there's been some concern among other Port Commission members that Vitus has been, although everyone is supportive of a competing tank farm, and there's good reason to be, Vitus seems to be asking the city to do some of the work for them. And there's ways they can approach landowners and find land, and they haven't quite done that as of our last meeting yet. So the answer was no, you can't create a mini tank farm on the port dock, but we wish you well. And so we could try to be helpful in other ways. And that was it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Diamant, for that report. And we'll move on to the Planning Commission, Vice Mayor Hansen. You're up on deck.
Yep. So there was a meeting on May 14th, Thursday, and there was actually no agenda, so I didn't attend. And the next meeting will be Thursday, June 11th, and I'll be calling into that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. And we'll move on to myself. We have the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board. And just as a reminder to everyone in the gallery and to everyone out there listening, that our Community Action Grant application period is going to end on May 30th. So if you are considering putting in an application for the Community Action Grant, please get it in before May 30th. After May 30th, then we'll have a board meeting on June the 2nd. And also June the 10th, we'll present our recommendations to the council on June 23rd, and the payment will be made on June 22nd. So again, the deadline is May 30th, and that just gives you 4 days from now. And if I can get the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee, Ms. Stewart, please.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. The PRAHSC committee meets the second Monday of the month, which means we have not met since our last council meeting. The next meeting is June 8th, and I just want to welcome Rose Sugar Henderson to that committee. We have a full committee. All seats are occupied. Thank you.
That's great news to hear, Ms. DeWitt. Thank you. And we're moving on to the Finance Committee. Ms. Franco.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. We have not had a meeting since I last gave an update. We do have a scheduled meeting on Tuesday, since it's normally on the fourth Monday, but that was Memorial Day. I do believe there might be a conflict with the city budget meeting, but as of now, it is still scheduled for Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. And we'll move on to the Public Works Committee. Councilmember Leary. Ms. Leary? Alyssa, can you hear us?
She's still online. So, yeah,
She's on video.
Says connecting.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, Miss Larry. Thank you.
So the audio was, oh my God. I called in on my phone as well because the audio on my iPad was bad.
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, I can't hear on the iPad. Okay. I can't hear myself. Now I can hear myself on the other phone. So I'll try. We met on Wednesday. We came out, or actually at the previous meeting, we came out with a recommendation to City Council to reinstate the administrative assistant position in the Hall of Utility Department. Oh. Okay, I think I can hear you guys now. So that's included in the packet, the recommendation to City Council. It's kind of lengthy, but we believe that the Hall Utility Department deserved a little extra help after the winter we went through and some of the issues that arose. You know, that it will improve accuracy and timely updates to routes. The foreman is constantly pulled from the office, trying to catch up on schedules to drive a truck, and route changes are an issue that come up. We provided some pretty good justification. I could read it all if that's what folks want, but so that is included in the packet. We also discussed some of the outcomes of the YK Fitness Center freeze-up report. And that works has a pretty good handle on that. And then we also discussed snow drainage. I had community members approach me about having some more strategic snow drainage for next year if we have the same amounts of snow. And then we made plans to have more special meetings. We decided on the next topic, and we're still trying to nail down a date for that next special meeting. But and also, I just wanted to mention that we did just have a longstanding member of our committee resign. I really want to thank Jeff Sanders for all of his years. He has volunteered on a couple different committees with the city. So we do have, I believe we already had a couple of openings. We now have another opening. So if you know anyone who is passionate about public works, any of the issues with public works, I recommend them to join. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fleury. And last but not least, the Mr. Springer's Public Safety and Transportation Committee. Or commission, Mr. Springer.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, it's Public Safety and Transportation Commission. We are still looking for a quorum. So if you would like to serve on the Public Safety and Transportation Commission, if you are interested in the taxi cab industry, if you are interested in the fire department, if you're interested in public safety in our community, give your name to Lori, and I'm sure that the mayor will give it due consideration for appointment. So thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. How many vacancies do you have?
Oh, gee whiz, I don't have the, I think we got like two or three. We're pretty late.
Yeah, and how many more do you need to establish a quorum?
I don't have the report right here in front of me that's got that on there. I think if we got two more, we could probably have a quorum. So we definitely need a couple of folks.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Springer. I guess for the listening public, we do need a couple more people for the Public Safety and Transportation Commission Committee. And with this whole COVID-19 virus going around, we've had to make a couple changes with our taxi cab services and our bus services. So if you feel strongly about those changes within the city government, then please, please, let's have your voice be heard on that committee. That's a very, very vital and important committee that we really need to see have a quorum. So thank you for that. Just as a reminder, all the reports for a lot of the committees are found online on the City of Bethel's website under the City Council. So it's all there. So we're moving on to the 8.1, the special order of business. And we're going to go to appreciation to council member and mayor Fred Watson for his service and dedication. Fred, if you don't mind coming on up here. Yeah. So we've got a very, very, very nice gold panning bowl. Not necessarily the full size, but it's really pretty. It's gold. And you can use it for gold panning or whatever you wish, Mr. Watson. But it says for Gouda.
Mayor, you may want to speak to the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the gold pan reads, from the City of Bethel, of course, Mayor and Council Member Fred Watson, 2016 and 2020. The City of Bethel would like to thank you for your dedication and leadership. And I'll say, Fred, I've learned a lot from you as a colleague of yours on the City Council, and I appreciate your guidance and your tutelage, and thank you for that. I personally want to thank you for that. And it was nice to have served with you, so congratulations with the gold bowl.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Mr. Watson. And we're going to move on to appreciation to appreciation to acting chief of police, Amy Davis, for her service and dedication. And Amy, we've got a something different for you. You're not going to get a gold pan, but I'd like for you to come on up here. So we're going to give you a nice bowl, a very nice bowl, and it actually is made in Fairbanks. It's a coincidence.
I think it's a birch. Burl.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah, it's a very pretty thing too. One of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to say a couple things, then I'll read what's written on the inside. But I think I have an appreciation of the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, just as you do. And when I think about you, I think about Gandalf the Grey. You know, I think about his leadership and his foresight and his caring for his band of dwarves and hobbits. And I think that is reflective in your dedication to your police department. I know that you have served very well. You have risen to the top of the police department, and it shows. I mean, I don't know how many officers I've asked and, you know, about them staying on and just talking to them. And they said that one of the reasons why they stick around is because of Amy Davis. Hmm. So I think I've talked to about three of your officers. I rode through the high school parade with, and he spoke very highly of you. So as a member of this council and as a member of this community, I thank you for that. You have done a wonderful job for us all and keeping us safe and protected. So thank you for that. I'm gonna read what's inside. It is not our part to master all the tides of the world, but to do what in us for the SUCOR of those years, wherein we are set uprooting the evil in the fields that we know, so that those who live after May have clean earth to till. Hmm. And that was a quote from Gandalf the Grey. So thanks for taking care of your little dwarves and hobbits, and thank you for all the things you have done for Middle Earth. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
What's that? Do you want to say anything, Amy? You have 5 minutes if you can state your name and.
I want to say, I don't know if this is on. Yeah. I want to say thank you to the council members, Mayor Barr. It's been my pleasure to serve the community of Bethel. This decision to leave was not made lightly. It was one of the most difficult decisions that I've actually had to make. I want to thank my staff. I have a wonderful staff at the police department, and I know that they will continue to do great things after I leave. I want to thank the citizens of Bethel. It's been great to live here. We've made it our home. We've had two of our kids graduate from Bethel. One is about to graduate. They grew up here. Wonderful community. It was just time for us to do something different in our life. So thank you, everyone. I've made some great partnerships here. I see a couple of them right there, right on the audience right now. And I'll never forget my time here. So thank you all.
So I don't know if we'd like to suspend the rules to hear from any other members of the public that would like to express their gratitude to Ms. Davis for her time and service. If not, we'll move on.
I'll move to suspend the rules.
Great. There's a motion to suspend the rules by Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second?
I'll second it. This second is Hanson.
Second by Mr. Diamant. Sorry, Ms. Hanson. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Rules are suspended for anyone that would like to express their gratitude and thankfulness to Ms. Davis for her time and service. Ms. Ellen?
So close, Eileen.
Eileen, yeah, I'm sorry.
Eileen Arnold, it's fine. I'll take anything close. I too just want to express my gratitude to Amy. We've had a very long partnership. She was one of the very first partners that when I became director at TWC was the first person reaching out to us at TWC to work together on these cases. Amy's been such an important ally. And she's such an ally on the cases that, you know, I think that matter to TWC, cases of interpersonal violence. And she's been a real ally to, you know, the most marginalized and the people who need protection the most. And that's not always the case. It's not always the case that these natural partnerships work out well, but in this case it did. And I'm really gonna miss Amy. I will certainly come by and see you in Fairbanks and hope that the next person in charge of BPD is as open to partnership and creative working together and innovative public safety ideas as Amy has been. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. Couldn't tell who you were with that disguise on. Are there any other members of the public or the council that would like to express their... Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Carmen Pitka. I'm originally from Marshall, and I've been here with my family a little over 2 years, and I just want to thank Amy, because the MDT, the multidisciplinary team, it's not an easy, the members that join into the MDT is, you know, this is challenging work, and I just want to thank her and for her her officers for making, you know, working with us and being there for the families. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pitka. Sure, anyone else? Mr. Diamond.
Sure, I'd like to add something. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I said some things at our last, I think it was a budget meeting, about Ms. Davis, but I just wanted to add that, I mean, we heard from a member of the public about how an entire department really has been turned around in a number of ways, which help all of us. And I personally have seen Acting Chief Davis, Ms. Davis, interact compassionately with victims of horrendous crimes. And I've seen her act professionally with alleged perpetrators of crimes. And we also expect that of our police. So her stay here has been very, very good for the community in a lot of ways, in a quiet way that people forget about. If you're not involved in those things, you're not aware of it. But she's been there for the people of Bethel, and I respect that very much. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. DeWitt.
So I just want to be on the record saying thank you to both the lieutenant and acting chief, as well as to your family, for the commitment they've made to your commitment to the city of Bethel. I know it's not a small thing, and I got a little taste of that during some of our homeless coalition work, and seeing how many calls you're fielding constantly, nonstop, all the time. And I think unless people observe that, they probably have no idea what that's like to be holding up a department in the way that you were. So thank you very much. And I hope that you like Fairbanks, but not well enough to not come back. I hope we see you back in this community. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Anyone else? 11 years in the department, Amy. This is probably one of the most trying times within the past couple months or so. So, as I said before, you know, you guys are our heroes, the first line responders. You put yourself out there and you take those risks. And there's not a whole lot of people out there that would be willing to do the things that you do. And I really appreciate, again, your guidance and your leadership for the police department as this whole pandemic has erupted within our lives. So again, thank you. Hearing no one else.
This is Alyssa. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Ms. Larry, I can hear you. We can hear you.
Sorry, I just wanted to add one other thing that I thought was really amazing that our acting chief did, was just the participation in community events and volunteering, you know, to make chili for the Bethel Friends of Canine cook-off, and you know, participating voluntarily in the, you know, the Project Homeless Connect events, and just those things I think made a really big difference. And it's not just you know, the regular work that you've done, Amy. It's, you know, all the added things that I think has really contributed to, you know, fitting in this community and making a big impact. So I just wanted to thank you for the extra stuff you also did, it, besides all your overtime and everything else. So I just really appreciate you, everything you've done here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Larry. Anybody else? I guess just to reiterate what Ms. DeWitt had said, you know, I've known you for quite a while, Amy. I don't think I've ever met your husband. Yeah. a lot of what happens in law enforcement is the family is kind of out there, and they're a huge supporting structure for the family dynamic. So thank you, Mr. Davis, for supporting Amy in her career. Yes, we all are proud of her. Thank you. We'll move on. If there is no one else, moving on to item number 9, unfinished business. We'll go through item 9.1, public hearing of ordinance 20-1, extending the declaration of emergency issued through ordinance 20-09 and ordinance 20-08. I'll open this up to public hearing. Is there anyone here to speak on the public hearing of ordinance 20-11? If not, there is no one present to be heard. I will close the public hearing and entertain a main motion to adopt ordinance 20-11. Do I hear a motion?
This is Michelle, so moved.
So moved by Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Diamond. Thank you. Discussion? As the maker of the motion, Ms. DeWitt, you have first debate.
Mayor Barr, would it be possible to move to suspend the rules to hear from our city attorney about this issue?
Yes, ma'am. Are you moving to
so
suspend
moved.
The rules? So moved by Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Mr.
Springer.
Yeah, hearing from the attorney on the council has the right to inquire of the attorney at any time. We don't need to suspend the rules.
Thank you for the reminder, Mr. Springer. Ms. Bacalar, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And Ms. DeWitt, do you have some points of clarification that you'd like to have Ms. Bacalar express?
Yes, this is Michelle speaking. If you could maybe speak a bit about the powers extended to our city manager through this emergency ordinance and the length of time, both for council and for the public to hear, I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah, so obviously the 2008 and 2009 together are intended to empower the city manager to deal with issues related to COVID, right? So I think the spirit of both of those ordinances is that the city manager should be allowed to suspend rules, move meetings, and suspend procurements and that kind of thing if there is a link to the public health emergency. It's not, you know, licensed to do anything beyond that. You know, at one point, I think with the taxi stuff, there was a public health reason for those rates. There may not be that reason anymore. State law requires that these ordinances expire within 60 days. So there's nothing preventing the council from extending the ordinance to another 60 days. And I think from a policy standpoint, I'm not going to express an opinion on that. That's the council's decision. But I will say that as long as the COVID emergency remains in effect at a state level, probably more harmonious from a legal standpoint for the city to also maintain that emergency declaration so we don't lose any funding opportunities or any coordination with the state that we might otherwise lose from not extending the ordinance. That being said, I think any actions of the city manager under these ordinances have to be really linked to the COVID crisis. I don't view these as licensed to go beyond that. They are emergency ordinances issued pursuant to a public health disaster emergency. And so any of the special powers afforded to the city manager under them should be consistent with addressing and responding to that emergency. Does that answer your question, Council Member DeWitt?
It does. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Do we have any other questions for our attorney pertaining to this ordinance?
Yeah, Ms. Mayor.
Mr. Springer, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Ms. Bacalar, you made the comment that this keeps us harmonious with the state's declaration. Do you believe that the city would see any harm? I mean, not every municipality in Alaska has declared a public health disaster emergency, as far as I know. I mean, the list is there on the state website. would any harm befall the city if we did not extend this in terms of our ability to seek assistance, financial or otherwise, from the state? And at the same time, if we were to kind of an additional question, you know, we very quickly adopted this declaration and put it into effect. And we would continue to have the ability to do that if we let it expire right now. Isn't that correct?
Councilmember Springer, I think that's correct. But before I really commit to an answer about what possible harm could befall the city from not extending this in light of the state's declaration, I would want to do more research into that. I don't want to go on record and say that there's absolutely no problem in doing that. You know, again, I think that it gives us flexibility during the pendency of the emergency, particularly because I think there may have been another case, as I understand it, recently in the region with the opening up of businesses and the loosening of social distancing measures. There may be spikes in cases that require the emergency ordinance to be put back into place. I don't think that from a public health standpoint, the crisis is over, as I understand it. So I worry about the disruption of letting the emergency ordinance lapse only to have to renew it. That being said, you know, that is a policy call on the part of the council. I don't want to commit and say there is absolutely no harm to the city from rescinding this emergency declaration without further, much more further detailed research into that. You know, I would want to look at the interplay of the CARES Act with this local declaration and the state declaration. I just know that having the local declaration adds an extra layer of protection and powers, and kind of, you know, puts a bow on things for a while. You know, I think as long as administration can stay within the bounds of those orders and make sure that judgment is exercised to have them be any actions taken under these emergency ordinances directly related to COVID, that should meet the intent of the ordinances. So long answer to your question is, I don't really know without further research whether it's safe for the city to let this lapse from the standpoint of funding or other possible state relief. I know that there is some issues of state disaster relief that can be tied to local disaster emergency declarations. And again, without looking at that more closely, I wouldn't want to commit to a position and say one way or the other whether I think there would be harm to the city from letting it lapse. I would want to look at that more closely.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Springer, go ahead.
Yeah, if I just follow up with that. Actually, you know, the declaration, if I recall correctly, declaration can be issued by the city manager. And the declaration is merely a notification to the state of Alaska that something is going on. You know, a volcano has erupted, or, you know, the Kuskokwim River is 6 feet above the banks, or we have an outbreak of COVID-19. The ordinances are essentially the council granting authority to the manager to do things that he might normally would normally not be able to do administratively or otherwise. So I guess the other part of my question is, the ordinances, are their expiration tied to the end of this declaration?
I think that's correct. Councillor, I believe that is correct. I have to look at the language of Ordinance 2009 for the effective date, but I believe it says in there that the ordinance effective immediately upon adoption by the council, shall remain in effect for 60 days or until the virus is no longer declared a federal or state emergency, whichever occurs first. The council may meet in 60 days to assess the status of the outbreak emergency and consider renewing this emergency ordinance as necessary and appropriate to protect the public health, safety, and welfare. And that's in section 5 of the ordinance 2009. So I think the effective date as adopted in Section 5 of Ordinance 2009, does contemplate that this declaration would last through the pendency of the state and federal emergencies. But there's certainly nothing that prevents the council from allowing it to lapse or deciding to rescind it or what have you. As written in 2009, though, I think that section does contemplate sort of a harmony between the state declaration and the local declaration.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, thank you for that. So, Mr. Mayor, if I just speak on the motion, I don't have any problem with maintaining the declaration of emergency. I think that is it is proper. I don't think any other communities that have made declarations have rescinded them. I would though like the council to take up its responsibility in those ordinances and give them a 60-day review and debate whether or not we need to continue to extend particular powers to the city manager and the administration, or whether we should try to seek some normalcy in administrative operations, knowing again that should things arise, the council can meet very quickly in a special meeting or an emergency meeting and pass new ordinances. But I support continuing the declaration, but I would like us to review the ordinances. So thank you, Ms. Bacalar. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Mr. Springer, was that a motion to do so? Or
I guess I could move to amend the motion to extend the declaration, but to I'm not sure how to do it. No, I'm not going to make a motion on that. Maybe somebody else can noodle one out and write it down and give it to Lori. But I would like us to. Well, I mean, the ordinance says that we've got to consider after 60 days. And so, at some point, we're going to need to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Springer.
This is Councilor Leary. Page 31 of the packet has a suggested amendment to Ordinance 20-11. So I'd like to go ahead and move to amend Ordinance 2011. And we'd insert under, again, this is page 31, insert under section 1, all provisions of Ordinance 2008 remain in effect. Section 2 reads, section 4 of Ordinance 2009 is repealed. All other provisions of Ordinance 20-09 remain in effect. We're going to insert Section 3. The City of Bethel will follow all current State of Alaska health mandates as may be updated and will not establish mandates or guidelines beyond the scope of the state's health mandates unless explicitly approved by the City Council. Section 4. The city manager shall not rely upon and is explicitly prohibited from relying on either Ordinance 20-08 or 20-09 to suspend or modify the provisions of BMC 5.20.050 governing the payment of rates for taxicabs. Lastly, Section 5. For the duration of the statewide and local pandemic emergency, the city manager shall report to the city council at each regular meeting all actions taken and expenditures made in response to COVID-19.
I will second that.
Thank you.
That's a mouthful.
Which is why it was included in the packet.
What page is that? I'm sorry, Ms. Leary.
Page 31.
Page 31.
Okay, so we have a first and a second and discussion.
Did we, I'll second that. Did we get a second on the amendment?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, sorry.
So we had the, we had a first by Ms. Leary and a second by Mr. Springer. And discussion. Ms. Leary, so, as the maker of the motion, would you like first debate?
Yeah, thank you. So I worked with our city attorney to draft this to make sure it, you know, made sense, read correctly, read in a legally legible way. So the, you know, for section four, adding that we will rely on the state health mandates. That's the wrong one. Section four is about the taxi cabs. So I think we all know that the masses of folks that rely on the taxi cab services there were several complaints made publicly and through social media and all kinds of places. So this just puts something in so that, you know, any revisions to the taxi cab rates, the rate structure, will not be made solely by the city manager. I was disappointed to hear that the Public Safety and Transportation Commission looks like you guys might not have a quorum again. But that's really the place where we would want, the rate structure, anything with the taxi cabs to be run through that commission. So it can be, you know, have public input and have some real thought put into it. And for section five, sorry, that was what I, and no, section three is what I meant when I first started talking. So that we'll follow all the state of Alaska health mandates and only, you know, we'll only, we're not going to go above our power and try to mandate anything for the city of Bethel that we don't legally have the authority to do. I don't know. That's all for now.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. As the second to the motion, Mr. Springer, you have second debate.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a question, I guess, for the city manager on this is how would this affect the employment of the acting assistant city manager during the COVID-19 emergency?
Mr. Manager, Mr. Plaza.
Thank you, Mayor Barr and Councilor Springer. So the expiration of the original ordinances was May 24th. So as of today, or as of next pay period, there will be no acting assistant city manager. So Bill Howe will return to the fire chief, and then the acting fire chief will return to permanent fire captain. And I do not plan to have an assistant unless we have a COVID case. I will need to have definitely be able to have the flexibility of bringing in full-time staff to handle the emergency.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Mayor. And thank you, Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Further discussion?
Yeah, I wanted to bring something up.
Yes, Mr.
Diamond. It's not for or against, but like Councilmember Leary, I had heard from a number of people how much the cab rate that the city manager put in was harmful to people at the time, necessarily so. And like the amendment says, it was correct at the time to do that. But at the same time, in the last week, since regular rates have returned, I've had an equal number of people come to me to express their concern that they're getting in a cab with four people again. So I just want to put that out there that is also a concern for people and a valid one. And that's why I liked, I think the city manager, I think it's in our email, a suggestion about elders and what we can do about cab fares for elders and stuff. That was important to me. But I guess I did want to say that there's an equal concern, I think, too, about returning to normal, specifically when it comes to cabs, because you're in such close contact with so many people and for a period of time. And as I don't, but there is no law that says people have to be wearing masks, I don't believe. And that's for the city manager in cabs.
Great. Thank you, Councilman Diamond. That's based on the cab companies themselves.
Right.
Just like AC requires you to have masks, the cab companies can require masks for the fare riders to enter the cab.
Right. So, and I think general public knows that. And so some people are concerned. So that was it. I guess I had a question for the amendment maker, Councilmember Leary. So what, if I understand right, what your main concern, actually, what could you summarize really quickly what your main concern was? I think I agree with you, but I want to know for sure I do.
On the taxi cab issue?
Yeah, on that part of the amendment.
So from what I haven't taken a cab in I don't know how long, but I did at one point. And so I'm very sympathetic to those that I've heard discuss how you go from point A to point B and then you go turn around, right? And you go from B to A and it'll be a completely different rate. So I think there's a lot of concern with the variability in rates to go from the same distance. I was also concerned about, and I this was brought up by the public, about how this will, or how the construction season would impact this. If you remember last year, and we've had a little taste of it already this season, but you could be sitting for 15 minutes waiting for the construction to let you go through. And I wasn't comfortable with the way this rate structure was set up, in having each passenger have to bear that expense of, you know, waiting for the road construction to let them through. But I think, and you know, and there was a lot of, I don't know, complaints about variability is really between, you know, different, I don't know if it was just different cab companies or just different drivers, and heard a lot of people having to argue with the drivers about the, you know, the rate, and they'd set the timer on their phone and they'd say, you know, it was 5 minutes and the driver says it was 7 minutes or whatever, you know, that, I think that's a concern. That's a big concern, because especially if you're on a fixed income and you budget yourself to take a cab to and from work twice a day or wherever you have to go, and it's different every time, that's tough for people that, you know, don't have that flexibility in their budget. So those are my main thing. You know, I don't have the answer. I get why this was instated. You know, I understand why we went with this when we did. I don't think it's good for long term. So that's my 2 cents.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Further discussion to the amendments to the main motion. So all those in favor of the suggested amendment to Ordinance 20-11, Section 1, Section 2, Section 3, Section 4, and Section 5, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed? I'm sorry, Ms. Hansen. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everyone, for that great debate. So we'll go on to the main motion to adopt Ordinance 20-11. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of adopting Ordinance 20-11 indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. I'm sorry. Aye. I'm corrected. We need a roll call on that. So, Ms. Strickler?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember DeWitt?
Yes.
Councilmember Diamond?
Aye.
Councilmember Springer?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen?
Yes.
Councilmember Leary?
Yes.
Thank you, Councilmember Franco?
Yes.
Mayor Barr?
Yes. Thank you. Main motion to adopt 20-11 has passed unanimously. And we're up to item number 10.1, introduction of ordinance 20-12, establishing a City of Bethel budget for fiscal year 21. That passed on the consent agenda. 10.2, introduction of ordinance 20-13, amending chapter 11 regarding city elections to provide for vote by mail elections. And that was pulled from the consent agenda by Mr. Springer.
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce the ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. I have a motion to introduce ordinance 20-13. Do I have a second?
Second for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Dimant. As the maker of the motion, Mr. Springer, you have first debate.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. This is not the first time that vote by mail has come up before the City Council. Councilmember Herman, several years ago, introduced an ordinance to allow vote by mail. It did not pass, as I recall, but we do have, I think, a fairly robust record of debate there. I certainly am going to vote to introduce this, and I'm going to vote to support it. Voting by mail is not, not the boogeyman that it's made out to be in some circles. It has worked for the United States military. I don't know if they had absentee balloting in the Civil War, but I think every war since, they certainly have. And, that's never been a problem. Voting by mail works in other parts of the United States. It's interesting to note that the municipality of Anchorage and the city borough of Juneau have just come to an agreement where the city of Anchorage, which has got a much bigger clerk's office than anybody else, is going to be providing services to CBJ to manage their vote by mail program, just as the city of Anchorage municipality has done now for several elections with no untoward effects. We know that there are issues with state management of voting sites. The Bethel city clerk does not want to do absentee balloting for the state of Alaska because the state is not supporting it. The state's right now begging for somebody in Bethel to take over as a absentee voting site. One of the reasons, of course, the vote by mail is big now is because of COVID-19. We saw people in, I think it was Wisconsin, literally risking their lives to be able to vote because their legislature wouldn't allow vote by mail to happen. So they had to get out and line up around blocks to, be able to vote by hand. I think that this is, I would rather have voting by mail than electronic voting, voting over the internet. The postal service is very secure. We have in Bethel, always had a good, robust voting management system. If you've never had the opportunity to come into the city hall on election night and watch the volunteers counting, you should. It really is democracy in action, and that will continue. So I think it's very important that we give everybody the opportunity to vote. This will, in all likelihood, increase turnout because people won't have to say, oh, yeah, today's election day, and, gosh, the parking lot looks awfully full there, and I've got other things to do. This will just bring the opportunity to participate in our democracy to more people. So I'm going to be voting to introduce this, and I'll be voting to support it. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Mr. Dimant is the maker or the second to the motion.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this is important. It's worthy of discussion. So really, I have questions for the designer of the ordinance or the maker of the motion. Is vote by mail in any way different than an absentee vote, an absentee ballot? That'd be my first question.
Was that directed to me, Mr. Davis?
Pardon me?
Was that directed to me?
No, actually, it's directed to, in my mind, I was directing it to Mr. Springer, but it was introduced really by Mr. Barr, introduced by Perry, Mayor Barr. So is this different than absentee voting?
Mr. Diamond, I would defer to our resident expert on Alaska voting laws, Ms. Strickler.
We actually have two because Libby is also on the line, but helped me draft this. So the intent, to answer your question, Councilmember Diamond, it's similar. However, with our absentee right now, we provide absentee in person and absentee by mail. The alternative that's presented here is the option if the council were to decide to mail ballots to every registered voter in Bethel and have an opportunity for those ballots to be returned by mail or at a polling site location 15 days prior to the day of the election. So it's allowing the organization and the election officials an opportunity to distribute ballots while also maintaining the safety measures that might be presented in October through COVID is the intent of this.
And we know how transient the Bethel population is. So how do we ensure, let's say we send two ballots to a household where we presume at some point two people lived and they no longer live there, how do we ensure that two other people didn't use those ballots? How do we ensure the security of this? I mean, that's always the question. How do we ensure that the people voting that the proper people are voting?
So when the ballot is distributed, it's distributed with an oath and a witness would have to sign on behalf of the voter. On that ballot envelope, it presents some identifiers that only the voter would be able to know, ideally only the voter would be able to know, and that is cross-referenced with the voter information presented by the state of Alaska so that the election canvas board can verify that the vote is the individual that is presenting.
That's my biggest concern, is that we can verify. And it sounds like, could you possibly explain that one more time? Because I think that's the sticking point for a lot of people.
Sure, yeah. So the process would be, we would get the voter registration information from the state of Alaska, and we would distribute ballots to every voter in the address that's associated with their voter record. Those ballots would be distributed in advance of the election. I think that the ordinance is 21 days in advance of the election. And the individual would vote their ballot in the presence of someone else who would witness their signature and the identifiers associated with the voter. The voter would vote their ballot, place it into a gray secrecy sleeve, and then place that secrecy sleeve, which held the ballot, into the voter envelope, which that voter envelope, again, contains the identifying information of the voter after it's been witnessed and certified by the other person, 18 years or older, and then it's mailed back, brought by an election site in advance of the deadline. So then, the process that we're presenting here, my office or election officials, we would be able to open a portion of the voter envelope and make sure that the identifier is there and that it's been signed. If that has not happened, we're going to provide a curing process where we would reach out to the voter and say, hey, you forgot one of your identifiers, because we are worried that we're going to have to discount a number of votes because this is unfamiliar for people. So to have a period of curing if they've missed something in their voter, in their oath or identifier. Then once we've been able to confirm that the vote has been properly initiated with the oath and the identifier, we would hold it for the canvassing of the canvas board 2 days after the election. So you're saying, what if, you know, the individual didn't get the ballot? They would have the opportunity to request an alternative ballot, and that would be in a question ballot form so that we would be able to compare the record of those distributed and those returned
so that one person wasn't able to vote twice, similar to that we do now, you know. So you have the question ballots issued the day of the election, you have your absentee ballots, the canvas board comes down and separates all those and double checks the voter record of each voter that submits a ballot to make sure that they're not distributed twice. So the same process would be presented for the absentee by mail.
Good. Thank you. That was helpful. I do. I've got one final question. Can you explain the identifier? Explain what an example of that is.
So it would be your driver's license, state ID, last four of your social security number. It does offer the full listing of the social security number, but the last four is required. Date of birth. I think the mailing address is one of them as well.
Okay.
No, it would not be the mailing address.
No, because someone would be getting that mail.
Yeah. Libby, did you want to fill in my blanks here? You know, off top?
Yeah, sure. So the identifiers in would be, to answer Council Member Diamond's question, would you typically be a social security number, last four digits of a social security number, voter ID number, I'm going off the top of my head here, voter ID number, Alaska state ID number, you know, some personal identifying piece of information like that, sure. Not an address. It would have to be, you know, social, last four digits of social, driver's license, voter ID, Alaska state ID numbers in order to.
So the city would have that information, the clerk's office would have the information. And so when I send in my ballot, which is convenient for me, I might put down my last four of my social and you're going to cross-reference that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. And there okay. Are a couple of identifiers that we would require.
Okay. I understand that. That explains it more fully.
And if I can also clear something up about this election by mail in relation to early voting and absentee voting, there are a lot of different terms in election law that get tossed around that can be incredibly confusing to voters and lawyers, frankly. Our state election code and our city election code refers to together in various places, early voting, voting by mail, absentee voting in person, all these kind of different terms of art. All of them are just mechanisms to vote before the election. There are a number of security measures, a lot of them in place to make sure that the ballot that is cast belongs to a qualified voter. This particular ordinance that's in front of you now, I just want to clarify something about it. This is to allow for a complete by-mail election, so no polling places in a particular election. It would require the council to approve that individually. So if there were to be an election conducted entirely by mail, it would need to be approved by the city council after a public hearing. That's what the very first 775-010 says in the ordinance. So this is not to be confused with normal absentee and early voting processes in a normal election. This would be for the council to specifically say a particular election is going to be completely vote by mail. And we are not going to have polling places for that election. That is distinct from an election in which there are a number of different ways to vote, including polling places, including absentee, various ways of absentee voting and early voting stations. And I think there's going to be some ordinances coming your way about that too, especially with COVID and everything. There's more of an incentive to do that. But I just want to be clear that this vote by mail, I'm sorry, this, yeah, this this ordinance 2013 allowing for vote by mail elections is specifically permits the council to look at an individual election and decide that election will be conducted only by mail. There are already provisions in place to allow absentee voting by mail in regular elections that have polling places. This would essentially be for the council on an individual election by election basis to vote out the polling place option and do what Anchorage is doing now in all of its municipal elections and voting, holding those elections exclusively by mail. I hope I didn't confuse you further.
No, but I don't see that language about council, unless it's referenced in the Alaska statute. I don't see the language about council needing to declare that an election will only be by mail.
So it says in 775.010, conduct of an election by mail, the clerk may conduct any election by mail with approval of the Bethel City Council following a public hearing. An ordinance approving it. Yeah, right there. 775.010.
I do, I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I didn't scan down far enough, I see. Why would we want to conduct an election only by mail? Why would we want to conduct an election only by mail? It seems like we would want to give people the option of by mail or absentee or at a polling place.
Is that direct?
Mm-hmm. The answer to whoever gave this to the council to consider.
Okay. So the option to move to a fully by mail election was presented after the COVID declarations were presented. I have over half of my election staff is of a high-risk age group, all elders, retired, and I want to make sure that they, one, are able to and willing to work the election, and I can do that safely. So not knowing what restrictions or emergency declarations will be presented in October, I'm taking some extra steps to make sure that I can protect the public as well as my election officials on election day. I can say that a number of municipalities around the state are moving to a by-mail election. I personally will do everything I can not to present a by-mail election to our community. I think it is important and exciting to have election day, and I want to maintain that. But I want to make sure that our organization and our voters have as much flexibility and protection as possible if in October we're presented with some harm.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Further discussion?
This is Councillor Leary. I just thank you, Lori, for that explanation. With not knowing what this, I understand this correctly. This isn't saying we're going to have a by-mail election. This is giving flexibility to, if we decide come 60 days before the election, or at least 60 days before the election, that if the state of, you know, COVID-19 is still in flux in the state or in our community, that we could, if we choose to, do a by-mail election. Is that correct?
Yes, Councilmember Leary, that is correct. If I could just add one more thing, Libby touched on it briefly, but I am working on a couple of other ordinances that will be coming before the body that will allow for early voting, which is, like Libby was explaining, slightly different than absentee in person, but additional protective measures to reduce the crowds at the polling locations if we do move to an in-person or stay with an in-person election, allow for early voting so people can actually cast their ballot as opposed to the absentee in person where you have to put your ballot into a gray secrecy sleeve and then to the identifying envelope and then it's counted at the canvas board. We're working and considering a number of different opportunities for our October election. And like I said, this is going to be our last resort. But I still felt the need to present this to council as an option. And again, yes, I would have to present another ordinance identifying the method to vote by mail for the full vote by mail election. If we needed to go that way, it would come before the body and allow for a public testimony and hearing. Thank you for letting me add that.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Hearing no further discussion, I believe that we're ready to vote. So, for the main motion to introduce Ordinance 20-13, I would suggest that we do a roll call.
Councilmember Jewett.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Diamant.
Yes.
Councilmember Franco.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Mayor Barr.
Yes. We're moving on to 10.3, introduction of Ordinance 20-14, amending Chapter 15.12.060 ANC of the Bethel Municipal Code to make explicitly clear that the 10-day deadline to review site plan permit application does not apply to projects that require state or federal approval, and to remove the four references to tentative approval. So this was put forward by the Planning Commission, and this passed on the consent agenda. We're moving on to 10.4, Action Memorandum 28-17, Appointment of Committee Commission Board Members, Heather Knuck, to the Finance Committee. Thank you, Heather, for volunteering for this great committee, which is headed by Council Member Franco. And welcome aboard to the Finance Committee. That passed on the consent agenda. So item 10.5, Action Memorandum 20-18, Direct Administration and the Clerk's Office to prepare and for and organize the City Council retreat for June 24, 2020, to begin at 6 p.m. And this was brought forth by Council Member DeWitt. Do I have a motion to that effect?
I move to approve AM 2018, Directing Administration and the Clerk's Office to prepare for and organize a City Council retreat for June 24th.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second?
Second. This is Councilor Leary.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Discussion. As the maker of the motion, Ms. DeWitt?
Mayor Burr, may I make a motion to amend to strike June 24th and substitute it with June 18th?
Second.
Okay, so there's a suggested amendment to the motion to strike out June 24, 2020 to and replace that with June 18th. Am I correct, Ms. DeWitt?
That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. And that was seconded by Council Member Diamond. Discussion. Ms. DeWitt, as the maker of the motion?
Yes, Mayor Barr. I wanted to have an opportunity to have some strategizing between council and our city clerk, our city attorney, and our new city manager. And it's very difficult to do that in the course of our normal scheduled meetings. And there's an attachment speaking in our packets, speaking to the kinds of things we might discuss and some of the goal setting and so on. As to the date change, I was working with the city clerk on this, and we were planning for June 24th, but I actually have a scheduling conflict potentially on that day, so I wanted to update that to the 18th. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. As a second to the motion, Mr. Diamond.
I think it's a good idea, but I've never seen it happen. I've seen it happen informally, you know. This formalizes it a little bit. There's some technicalities that get worked out. I mean, I don't know if you would consider a meeting of the whole or you make a statement that no action will be taken or something, but I think it's an interesting idea. And I like trying new things and seeing, and why not? Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but it's a good idea. Good to try.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
So, speaking to the amendment, Mr. Springer.
I'm fine with you.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. So, hearing no further discussions to the amendment of changing the dates from June 24th to June 18th, all those in favor of doing such indicate by saying aye.
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 The new thing I was encouraged to try wasn't the date change anyway, but you got the idea.
Yeah. So going back to the main motion.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes, Ms. DeWitt.
I tried to cover two things with one comment there, but I'll go back for the public. I pulled up this attachment. Some of the items that I was proposing that the management team at the city and council would discuss would involve prioritizing projects, assigning funding amounts to some of those projects. Essentially, it's strategic planning, identifying potential partnerships to accomplish some of the priority projects, and then sort of ranking them, essentially doing some planning. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Further discussion on the main motion. Mr. Springer, you had something?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. One thing that the Bethel City Council has never done is had work sessions, and this is essentially a work session. So I'd like to invite the city clerk to weigh in on her view as to whether or not this would in fact be a work session and how it would jibe with Title 29 and city ordinances about meetings.
Thank you, Councilor Springer. So the Open Meetings Act identified the work session as being a meeting. So having a work session, you're still going to need a quorum of the members present. So as opposed to calling it a work session, we're going to call it a special meeting. You guys move into a committee of the whole, so I have a record identifying who's there. It then provides you an opportunity to, if you wanted to, come out of committee of the whole and take action if necessary. But we've kind of made it a focus not to title meetings as work sessions because there's an interpretation there that you don't have to have a quorum established to discuss and make decisions, which is actually inaccurate. So we call them special meetings. You guys move into a committee of the whole. You don't have to make motions or anything like that. We just make sure we can maintain a record of what's happening and who is there. So it is in essence a work session, but through a committee of the whole motion.
Mr. Okay, thank Springer. You. Thanks, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Springer. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the action memorandum 20-18 indicate by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everybody. So we're on to item 10.6, action memorandum 20-19. Direct administration to negotiate and execute a construction agreement with Wolverine Supply Incorporated to complete the public works facility floor and foundation structural improvements. So that passed on the consent agenda. Item 10.7, action memorandum 2020. Direct administration to use the $1.5 million appropriated in the FY 2020 budget for the City Hall roof repair replacement to hire a contractor to complete the following City Hall modifications. Repair, replace the roof, replace the boiler and furnace, replace the water heater, and other renovations as deemed necessary. So I would entertain a motion to approve Action Memorandum 2020.
Motion to approve for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Diamant. Do I have a second?
I'll second that for discussion.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. As the maker of the initial motion, Mr. Diamant, you have first debate.
Sure, I'd like to hear from the city manager to get the background on this and see what his thoughts are.
Mr. Carrazza.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. So I'll ask Public Works Director Arnold to come in and give some more background on this information.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I move to suspend the rules to hear from the Public Works Director.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Seconded by Ms. DeWitt. All those in favor of suspending the rules to hear from Mr. Arnold, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Arnold, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. So the background on this is last year was put into the budget, $1.5 million. It was put in the budget last year, $1.5 million. Cost estimates come in for the roof repairs at $1 million, so it left us with $500,000 left. Other repairs need to be done to this building as well, so we thought we'd utilize the funds to do those. The boilers need upgraded. There's a furnace in this building that needs to be upgraded. Water heater needs replaced. There's other repairs that do need to be done, that should be done, and we're going to utilize those funds for that.
I have another question for the city manager. There's a history of roof with this, you know. I mean, there's a history of roof problems here, for one. I mean, they go way back. But the city manager, how does this affect our 2020 budget?
Well, Councilor Diamond, the $1.5 million was already appropriated for it. Right. If we did not spend the rest of the money on the repair of the boiler and furnaces, we would retain the savings. So the $1 million would be just for the roof, and then any other repairs, it would go back to the fund balance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just thought in the interest of prudence, we're talking about $1.5 million, so we should ask these questions. So,
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a question?
Yes, Ms. DeWitt.
And I'm not sure a public works director and city manager can decide who best to answer this, but essentially my question is, if I remember right from reading the packet, the cost estimate on the roof came from Dowell, right?
That is correct.
It hasn't been bid out yet?
No, it has not.
So can you talk about the timing of how you might put these projects together to ensure that the actual bids to do the roof work are in the threshold to allow for the other work to be done, you know? So you have a cost estimator right now. We don't have actuals. So I'm just trying to understand how you'll put it together.
So it would all happen at the same time. It would go to a general contractor. A contractor would hire the subcontractors, which would do the, you know, the heating system as well.
Okay, so this will be bid as one project?
Yes, it would.
Okay. That answers that question. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Springer.
Yeah, these improvements are being designed by Dowell, is that correct? The mechanical and everything, the structural?
No.
It was decided by Dowell?
Were they designed by Dowell?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay, all right, thanks.
Yes.
Since we, Bill, here's a question. Since we decided last year to appropriate this money at 1.5, do we have any considerations as to maybe the cost might have gone up from a year ago?
Well, the cost estimates were done this year.
Okay.
Yeah, they were just recently done. I think it was in the last 4 to 6 weeks the cost estimates were done.
Okay, I was just curious because we approved it last budget cycle, and now it's coming up this budget cycle. I would kind of imagine that maybe there would have been a cost difference, but you just answered that question. Thanks, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Probably because I don't know the history. So if it got budgeted last June, why is it that it took nearly a year before the first cost estimates came in? And I'm not criticizing or blaming anyone. I'm just curious about that.
Just design, and it just takes time to get designs done, estimates done. It actually takes longer than I thought it would, but it does take time.
I put these in Coke.
I wonder if the architects had anything to do with it, because they've got a racket going on, you know, taking their cut.
Well, by the time they get a team together to get out here, you know, they get structural engineers, they got mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, architects, all involved, try to get the whole team here at one time and do that. You know, it took them 10 weeks to get scheduled to get here. You know, and then when they get here, then it gets into design and everything else, which takes time.
Okay. Thank you.
Is this something that will be hopefully accomplished by the end of the summer or the construction cycle?
I was told by the engineers they would give me an answer by Thursday if we could do it this year or not.
Yeah, with the whole virus thing, a lot of things are up in the air.
Correct. And they said give them till Thursday to give me an answer if we're going to construct this year or not.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
Mr. Mayor, so just add for discussion here. When we do a capital project and it doesn't get done in that fiscal year, it rolls into the next year. So the council already appropriated or allowed administration to spend $1.5 million for the roof replacement last year during the budget cycle. But the cost estimate came back that it only takes $1 million for the roof. So they basically added more work to say, well, you gave us $1.5 million to basically, you know, fix the roof, but there are other things that we could do as well that are needed to upgrade City Hall. So it's more of a, you know, you gave us $1.5 million for the roof, but then with the cost estimates, can we also do boiler and other improvements to the city, to the City Hall? And it will roll over into next year. I don't think we could bid it out and be done by June 30th. It will probably be bid it out maybe in the summer, and then they can work maybe by fall. It will roll into next year's fiscal year under the capital projects.
And is it your recommendation that we do this? That we use that, what we think is going to be some excess money for these other needed repairs and upgrades?
Yes, most definitely. The heating system in this building, over 25 years old. It needs upgraded. There are other repairs in this building that need to be done other than just the roof. So it definitely needs done.
Okay. You concur with that?
Yes, I do. And if I could go back in time, I would name the project City Hall Improvements versus just City Hall Roof.
Right.
But okay. At that time, they wouldn't have known that $1.5 million was enough. So they narrowed it to just the roof.
Good. Thank you.
Does that, and Mr. Arnold, does that include the sewer system? Because there are times where I walk into the
That's the next agenda item.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
Further discussion on action memorandum 2020.
Let's stay here for the next one.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Councilor Leary. I just wanted to thank Bill and Vinny for presenting us with this opportunity to use funds to go a little further than it had initially intended. So I think this is great. If anyone hasn't spent any time in City Hall, I recommend you stop down there and take a look at why we might be, enthusiastic about doing some upgrades down there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Further questions for Mr. Arnold? Hearing none, thank you, Mr. Arnold. Further discussion from the council? Hearing none. All those in favor of the main motion to approve action memorandum 2020 indicate by saying aye.
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 Thank you, everyone. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. We're moving on to item 10.8, action memorandum 2021, direct administration to change the scope of work in the contract the City of Bethel has with Tech Pro Limited for lift station rehabilitation and electric panel development to include additional lift station upgrades. Would entertain a motion to approve action memorandum 2021.
So moved. This is Alyssa.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. As a maker of the motion, Ms. Leary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would defer, I think, is Bill still standing there? I would defer to Bill Arnold or Vinny on this one.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Do we need to do another motion to suspend the rules here for Mr. Arnold?
I mean, technically, yeah.
I would move to suspend the rules to hear from Public Works Director.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Thank you, Mr. Diamant. All those in favor of such motion indicate by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. If you can explain what this scope of work is for the lift station stuff.
So a little history real quick. John, was it last year we got the original grant? The original grant for the panels. Yeah, 2 years ago, we got a grant to upgrade all our main lift stations, the panels. The panels were just outdated, hard to get parts. So we did that project. And through that project, with the new panels they put in, they set them up so we could do a SCADA system, which I'm not a tech guy, but it kind of talks to one computer, so we get all the data and everything to one place. So we get all that information, and it can call us and let us know when there's a problem. So that's part of the project. On this next grant that we just received of $1 million, we want to go and connect the SCADA system and a new lift station for this building and a new lift station for the city shop, because that is in dire need of repair as well. So that's what the plan is with that $1 million. And we're already under contract with Tech Pro from the original grant. that we can just, you know, change the scope of work is what we're asking for, to include this $1 million and these other items.
Okay, this says 900,000.
It's a $1 million grant. We get to spend 900,000 of it. The administration fees and all that, they keep part of it.
I'm sorry, that was clearly indicated in the action memorandum.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Ms. Franco.
Thanks. So I think this is obvious, but I just want to make sure. Has there been communication with Village Safe Water? Are they supportive of changing the scope to include these new lift stations?
Yes.
That's what it was originally granted for?
We've never asked.
For on these two?
Okay. So we have to.
We didn't have a need to ask.
Oh, so it's not like. Okay. Okay. So it's not that. Not an issue. Okay, thank you.